We go now to God's Word in John chapter 6, and we'll read the second part of John chapter 6, verses 41 through 71. John chapter 6, starting in verse 41, these are God's words. "Therefore the Jews were grumbling about him," that is Christ, "because he said, 'I am the bread that came down out of heaven.' They were saying, 'Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven?' Jesus answered and said to them, 'Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh.' And the Jews began to argue with one another, saying, 'How can this man give us his flesh to eat?' So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. Not as the fathers ate and died, he who eats this bread will live forever.' These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, 'This is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it?' But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, 'Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, 'For this reason I have said to you, that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father.' As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. So Jesus said to the 12, 'You do not want to go away also, do you?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God.' Jesus answered them, 'Did I myself not choose you, the 12? And yet one of you is a devil.' Now he meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12, was going to betray him." And those are God's words. So here the Jews who have gathered in a synagogue in Capernaum, as it says in verse 59, they were thinking that Jesus is committing blasphemy by saying, "I am," as part of that, "I am the bread of life," claiming to be Yahweh, but more than that, saying that he was the bread out of heaven that has come down from heaven. And he it is that you must come to. And he teaches also us about election. That in election, the Father draws us to Christ. And so that all those who are drawn to Christ will be raised up on the last day. And who are those who are drawn? It is those of verse 47 who believe they receive eternal life. And why is this? It's because Jesus is the bread, the living bread who came down from heaven. And he must be feasted upon by faith to have that life. But Jesus, it seems, even the Jews were questioning this, verse 52. He's not talking, though, about cannibalism. He's not talking about literally eating his literal flesh, but rather feasting in faith, like we do in the Lord's Supper, that we have a sign of this, what he's talking about here. to feed upon faith, in faith, upon his death on the cross, his body given and his blood shed for us. And there were some who struggled with this, so-called disciples, in verse 60. And they said so, they were grumbling. They sat under him. They were the ones who did not, some of them, Jesus even says, some of them did not believe. They, many of them, not just the 12 disciples being talked about here, but the many who had saw his miracles, and they were believing in him because of the miracles, and not because he was who he said he was. And so he said to them that some of them did not believe. And then also, one that would actually betray him. And these things being difficult for them, many who had originally followed him left him. Not one of the 12 disciples, but others. And so let us not for ourselves be found like those who just trust in him for some of the things that he did, but refuse to believe the difficult things that he said, or fail to trust in him for our life, for he is the bread of life. And so we are called here, just as we do in the Lord's Supper, to come to him by faith and feed upon him. Let's pray. Our Father, we're thankful for your Son, Jesus Christ, who is the I Am, who is the one who is the bread of life, who comes down out of heaven, the living bread, who is Yahweh, the Lord, and we're thankful that he is Yahweh. We're thankful, Father, that you have given us your Son, that he died on the cross for our sins, that he gave up his body and he shed his blood, so that as we heard this morning, we would have our sins covered, our guilt covered by his blood, and forgiven of all of our sins, that we would not be seen as if we have that righteousness of Christ, but that we would be seen as having that righteousness of Christ Jesus. And that for our justification, Father, we pray that it would be true of our sanctification as well, that we really would have in our lives no more sin. That you would turn us from our sin, that you would put it to death within us. And Father, we ask that you would keep us from sin by your Spirit, that we would not quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit of Christ. And Father, we're thankful that you are a God who heals our bodies. And pray that you would heal us and keep us healthy, even in this late stage of winter. Father, that we would be able to serve and worship you well with the life that we have. Father, grow us in our worship, that our minds would be focused more upon what we're hearing and singing and praying, and it would not just be going through the motions, but that it would be heart worship, or worship in spirit and truth. And Father, we're thankful for the news of Ron and Karen coming back to us, and yet we grieve with them in a sense that they have to come back because of their son. We pray that you would save them, you save their son, and bring about a healthy relationship and a healthy life, especially for their son who is struggling with mental issues. We pray that you would heal him of that disease. We know that that is only possible through salvation in Christ alone. Father, we also pray for some of us who saw the accident on the way here, that you would save in their body those who were in that accident, seemed very serious, and also that you would save their souls. You perhaps would even use the accident itself to bring about salvation, if that be your will. We also pray for our government and those authorities over us in the local level, even in the federal level. Father, that you would save them. For you promise and you desire to save all types of people, even kings and rulers. And so we pray for them, that you would bring that about. That you would save those who rule over us, that they would rule in accordance with your word. They would submit to Christ, the King of kings, and the ruler of rulers, and the governor of governors. We could go on with the different language of which he is head over. He is head over all. And Father, we pray that all would see that, even ourselves, that we would be fully convinced of it and submit our lives and ourselves unto him, who is our Redeemer and Savior and our Mediator, who intercedes for us now before you, the Father, who pleads for us. And we have that great comfort, even knowing that he speaks to us now as prophet to us. We're thankful for your word. We pray that you would continue growing us through it. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.